Have you ever thought that you might be able to better serve God if you were in full-time ministry? In this first episode of our Business and Justice series, Sammy Rabalele shares his journey of embracing his calling by moving in the opposite direction, from working in full-time ministry to serving God in and through business.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
Welcome to the Ziwani podcast. I'm joined today by Ulupile Rabalele, known to many of us as Sammy. Sammy is a co-founder of Beyond the Eyes Network, which is an online TV platform. Sammy, thank you for joining us for this podcast.
Thanks for the invite, Sips. Thanks for having me, and thanks for even just the honor of having this conversation with me.
Fantastic. Well, Sammy, this is part of our series on the role of business and social justice. We're talking today specifically about the importance of embracing business as a calling. But before we dive into that, please tell us a bit about your own journey in business and how you ended up in the TV and media business.
I think that my story is maybe like many others is that, you know, there's different influences along the way that probably were influencing me and I had no idea that they were doing so. So I'd have to start all the way at the beginning, but I'll try to keep it short. My own father actually was in broadcasting television in the old Botswana era in South Africa. He worked for Bob TV. So probably already then, the love for TV and phone started all the way back then. But he then chose on farming, which was his own passion. And I grew up and went to study finance. But the Lord got a hold of me in my varsity time and went on to become a missionary on the campus. But I think the pioneering heart was already there in my own heart. And the love for media continued throughout my varsity years. One of the ways that I actually continued to make some money was I worked at a video store. So, you know, there goes the thread of film and TV. So even afterwards, when I was a missionary on the campus, the love just continued. You know, the love just continued. I had lots of good friends, and one of my good friends, Deboho, we had a thought. He also had the same pioneering heart, the same love for film. He actually went on to study at film school. And we sort of were sitting down one day and we're having a conversation. And I was like, listen, so when are we going to ever do this, dude? Are we going to ever just talk about story and its power to influence the world and how we believe that God could be calling us into that world that most believers sadly are still nervous about? But, you know, it continues to influence our world. Are we going to ever jump in and trust God for it? So at some point we decided, no, we have to trust God and see if he actually is calling us to it and just, you know, take the first step forward. Fortunately, our great wives were willing to participate in that journey with us and carry us for the first early seasons of starting the business.
Right. And how long ago was that, son?
From when we registered the company, it's going to be 7 years in February the 14th. But from when we started working on it, it's even longer than that. It's going to be probably about 8 years because we had already started some of the early workings on the company while we were busy with our old jobs, you know, to sort of say, oh, what are the groundwork that we needed to do to sort of see if this thing can actually work?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Sammy, I've spoken to many Christians who struggle with seeing the relevance of their work to the kingdom of God, which sometimes leaves them wondering if they should quit their jobs and go into full-time ministry. But your journey is the exact opposite of that, in the sense that you went from ministry to business, which for some, I guess, might be perceived as going from a noble calling to just a regular job. How did you process such a move? And in what ways do you see yourself as still serving God in your work?
Yeah, so I think part of it has to do with the fact that I was in ministry actually is part of the reason why I saw why it's actually a noble calling to be in ministry outside of what we call full-time ministry. I was a missionary, like I said, on the university campus, and a lot of the work that we do in discipling people is actually preparing them for the workplace. And a lot of it was, we saw a lot of the students that were part of our ministry. I had to figure out struggles with how does what God has called them to do in their 8 to 5 Monday to Friday work actually influence how they love God, how they see Him, and how they would, you know, grow from there. And really, that's actually where the front lines were. You know, we realized that that's where the front lines were, because once they've come to faith, there's a sense of a greenhouse in the Christian community, you know, and many actually feel very comfortable in that greenhouse. But, you know, the Lord is actually, well, we see it in John 17, you know, He prays for us to not, for God not to take us out of the world, but to keep us in it, you know, and so we can be effective in it. And so having lots and lots of conversations with friends who had gone to the workplace before I did, and even disciples and, you know, brothers who had gone on after while I was on campus, helped set me up, probably prepare me more than many as we thought about how do we mobilize believers to be faithful in the workplace. We've come a long way since then, you know, in seeing places like Mergon or Trigger or many other such faith FDI, faith-driven investor, and other communities who've actually worked to actually see how do we make believers effective in the workplace. But I had to wrap my head around the fact that everything is sacred. You know, there's not the separation between the sacred and the secular.
Right. And I love what you said earlier about telling stories. Do you think that your work as a storyteller lends itself more naturally to embracing business as a calling than, say, being a banker or something else like that?
Yeah, it probably is unfair. It probably does lend itself a lot better than something like a banker, because I do think if I'd gone on to become a banker, it's a bit more of a stretch, you know, to see how the Lord finds glory in that job, even though we know that He does, you know, because He says, whatever you do, whether in work or in deed, do it all for His glory. But in storytelling, I think there is an essence, because, you know, it's quite there, it's very open, you know, you get to share, it's almost like a testimony, you know, you get to see someone's life, whether it's overtly talking about gospel issues, or it's even not so overtly talking about them, but, you know, you can see the works of the Lord in most everything. So I do think mine is a bit unfair. It lends itself a little bit more. And because we run our own company, we always go out looking for stories that do lend themselves that way a lot more, if that makes sense. So it's like we choose stories that help show or reveal a little bit more of the divine creator's work in the world, if that makes sense.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, Sammy. It's definitely harder in some professions to work out what it looks like to glorify God. But of course, even in your industry, there are challenges, significant challenges for the redemptive leader. Can you talk to us about some of those?
I think first things first, it's maybe figuring out and learning from myself that, you know, I think maybe Christianity in the not so recent history had a past of maybe sanitizing the world and trying to sanitize the gospel so that it fits a certain narrative, which is not really something that God Himself does, you know. So I think that was the first thing that I had to get over, you know, in preparation into getting into this world. And what I mean is, you know, there's many parts of the Bible that would be very difficult if I gave them to you as a storyteller, Sibs, and said to you, go ahead and tell the story of David's family, you know, and Absalom and all that went on, you know, with Uriah and his death and, you know, the cheating. And how would you tell that story in such a way that it honors God? Because God doesn't sanitize that, you know, those truths. Now, there's obviously how you tell a story is an artistic expression. And so that's really what you have to work around to be. How do you honestly do that? But the most important thing is then do what the Bible, especially when you read through the Gospels, maybe probably Luke and John, you know, that especially Luke, when he says, you know, that the reason we do this is so that you can see that Jesus is big. That's really the end goal, is how do we begin to create narrative in such a way in a world that's really the reality of the world, whether people are running far away from God or running to God, is that Jesus is in pursuit of all of them. You know, Jesus gives all of them the opportunity to come. And in every human story, those people were made by God and God calls them back. You know, now not everyone believes and responds. So that's a difficult thing. But it's in these stories, in the stories of their life, that you can maybe even begin to help them see that this is a space where I believe God was really pursuing you and calling you. And how do I highlight that and keep that as the most important thing? So that's the challenge. The challenge is to ensure that how do we highlight or teach people to learn to see the divine in what they could see as mundane.
I just want to drill down on that a bit, Sammy, because like many industries, yours is driven by funding. So you need money, you need funding to get your films out and so on. But often the people who are holding the purse strings are not pursuing Christian agendas. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And so that must be a real challenge for you guys. And I just want to ask, what do you see as a potential way forward? Do you think it's forging stronger partnerships between your industry and, say, the business world? So Christian businessmen and women who are also thinking redemptively about the marketplace.
Yes, so I think what you're saying is a very important point. So it does provide a massive challenge in the sense that the first big challenge is funding. And we had to figure out how we're going to navigate that in our way to tell stories. Is how we're going to get over needing the funds that are existing. So we had to build a business that we had to find funds from elsewhere. So we're not against, obviously, getting funds from the big organizations if they take our stories, the stories that we pitch to them. But we had to build, you know, networks with Christian business and different business to say, we have these stories. We want to tell these stories. Would you help fund these stories? But also yes. To say to them that these are your stories. So that's the most important thing that, you know, sometimes we can initiate stories ourselves, but most times it's like the stories already exist. We have to look out for them. The stories that these businesses or other funding, possible funding people who are not necessarily interested in our industry, but might be if they were just showed that you would benefit from this and your people would benefit from this and more people would benefit. So when the stories of entrepreneurs that are doing well or come from these businesses or what these businesses are already doing, but it's not just for the business, right? Like it's communities as well to say, who are the people in the communities who are doing amazing work that would never be told? One of the things that networks, certain networks in America have done well, whether you're talking about Lifetime or even Disney, you know, Disney has a great history. So often networks, so probably there are other networks which would be a little bit more overtly non-Christian, but, you know, platforms like Disney give you an opportunity to have a lot of discussion points about who God is in terms of the stories that they choose. It's clearly more the, you know, the stories that would be more about a teacher who takes on a certain school. And, you know, we have tons of those stories on the continent, not just between teachers and students, but across the board, whether the old monarch kings or how the gospel went forth with small missionary spaces, you know, missionaries who left their places to come to Africa, and also Africans who became missionaries and went to the rest of the world, or growth of God's kingdom on the continent. There's tons of stories like that that are overtly Christian and some that are not overtly Christian, but are still really phenomenal stories to tell. You know, it's not just Nelson Mandela's story that would raise the hairs on your back. That is to say, you know, there's many, many other people. We know that it's going to take a while. It's not that easy to convince. We have to raise some of the funding ourselves, working with businesses themselves and then paying us for the work that we do and then investing until such a time that we can prove that there's a return on investment in telling these stories, because we believe there is. But, you know, it takes a few more movies and showing the return for businesses to finally believe and say, we can put some of our own rands or dollars or whatever it is that they put, bitcoins, to actually tell these stories.
Yeah, and tell me, Sammy, just going back to this whole idea of embracing business as a calling, what does it mean practically for you? I mean, does it mean that you have to, say, forego certain projects that would pay you well but are not perhaps aligned with your values? I mean, what's the reality of that? And is there a call to sacrifice within embracing business as a calling?
I do think so. I do think there is a point of sacrifice, but I do think that the industry also probably gets more of a bad rep, because I think it's as the producer or the production team tells a story, do we most times end up with the stories we end up with, you know, that are agenda phones. And I do think the viewer, the person on the other side of the screen, most people actually tend to pick out agenda phones and they don't really resonate with them. You know, people actually enjoy good narratives that don't feel like they're pushing an agenda in that way, but feel like they're authentic and honest about the general story that it's trying to portray. So what I'm saying is there will be saying no, and there is saying no to certain projects, but also we wouldn't initiate cheap projects that we wouldn't be happy with. So as far as for more films and TV. But outside of that, in the ad game, there's a lot more that you can actually play with when you think about the type of businesses like Unilever. There's a lot more that you can do that is family-based, that you don't actually have to push the agenda that is sometimes being forced on us, if that makes sense, that you stay away from. There's big space to play in and actually begin, you know, to generate more of the other stories. Yes, we also start to build more collaborations with other believers, well, great storytellers. I think Africa has a ton of tons of storytellers who could probably begin to get into the industry and not necessarily full-time, start part-time and look at the stories that are close to them and start to develop them so that they are actually quite a ways away, that when someone like a production company like us comes along, you don't have to start at point A, you know, that you actually have a lot of these narratives almost ready to go, you know. And maybe I'll finish by making this example, like a lot of other regions outside of the US region. So obviously we get force fed a lot of US content, and maybe that's why we have some of the challenges that, you know, or being forced certain types of narratives that the US deal with. But like other regions like India, for instance, you know, they deal with stories that deal with their issues, you know, and their issues are probably have to do a lot more with coming a long way from where what men had to do and what women had to do. I think their stories have to deal with a lot with that, to say, what does modernizing have to do with the way they see the roles of a man and a woman in the family? Chinese are a little bit different in that way. So you see in other regions, great narratives, but that actually are at the heart of what the culture is about. And most times, you know, the African continent has a lot to give to the world that God has divinely put in place, that it might not have been overtly talked about already, you know, but the essence of how we view community is unbelievable on the continent. Now, you can say it has been forced on us, but whatever the reason is, generally Africans' view on community is something that the world can benefit from, especially when we begin to show the world what that means. And I'll finish by saying this. I mean, I'm Zwana. It's one of the things we're working on and on a movie we're working on. But in Zwana, the word for neighbor is Mwahisani. Now, what that means is a fellow builder, you know, someone who builds with me. So I just think that's a, you know, just to show you what the community actually is. When we talk about a neighbor, we see someone who is not just a person who lives near me or lives next door to me. You know, we talk about it as, well, these are people who are building along to build a community. You know, those are powerful elements that we don't get a chance to see in our story, you know, in African context. And I think there's probably hundreds and hundreds more stories like that that come from our context.
Yeah, okay, that's really good. I just picked up on that example from India, where you say they do deal with a lot of issues that are at the heart of Indian society. So now, coming to the South African context, where obviously social justice, or should I say social injustice, is right at the heart of our narrative, to what degree would you say that the industry as a whole, the film industry that is, and specifically Christian storytellers like yourself, to what degree would you say those stories are being told? And I don't mean just documentaries, say, about underprivileged communities, as useful as those are, not just these films that expose the problem, but I guess the narratives that would perhaps help those who watch them to think about what redemption might look like. So to say it's not just making me aware of the problem, but is stirring or sparking my imagination and enthusiasm and excitement about getting involved in that story or in those stories, and in some ways bringing about redemption. How would you think we're doing in that space?
The truth of the matter is we have a long way to go. Those are some of the things that keep us awake at night, you know, at Beyond the Eyes and you know, fellow storytellers who are like-minded, which there's not always a lot, you know, in truth. Yeah. But that's exactly where we need to be focusing our storytelling resources, if that makes sense, at issues that people are struggling with, dealing with, and almost providing narratives that can at least, like you say, invigorate and help others begin to see some form of light and hope and optimistic about what the future could look like around things that I think God cares about a lot. The idea of justice, no matter how hard and difficult it is, is at the very heart of God. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. So the reality of the matter is God cares about it. I do think we have left that decision, or we have left that part of the narrative for the world to figure itself out on it. And sadly, they cannot. You know, we who have the beauty of the good news need to come out with a more clearer view or show a better picture of what justice could look like. You know, what it has looked like. Stories the way people have actually given up of themselves. You know, it's what I said, it's like without sanitizing it. You know, the Bible is full of unsanitized stories of people embracing the gifts and the blessings that they have in the gospel and giving up what the world has given them unjustly and holding on to the new gift that they've been given. You know, whether you think about the taxpayer, what that would look like for a taxpayer to give up everything, but it just shows the bigness of what he believes he's got in the person of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of those sort of stories that we need to start telling, and we have to move forward with it. So I agree. I think we have a long way to go. Ultimately, that's a long way to say that.
Yeah, for sure. But really exciting opportunities, it sounds like, Sammy. But before I let you go, I am intrigued about one thing, the name of your business, Beyond the Eyes. Can you talk to us a bit about that? Why that name?
Yeah, so I think we went with that name because we were like building off of the reality that we live in a world that can feel a certain way that we've inherited from whatever reasons that has a lot of injustice in it. And most times, because of what you see in and around you, you can actually give up. But the beauty of the gospel is that it tells us of a world beyond what we can see. There's a world that can come if, you know, we would embrace the gospel. And our thing is to tell stories that help people see the world beyond what they can see. We are fed a lot, you know, media or TV is one of the biggest influences of our day and age. You know, people watch more than ever. So obviously people see a lot and are influenced by what they see. But we wanted to be those that show people a better world, you know, a world beyond their eyes. So that was the heart of it. I was still early on in that journey, but we believe we can, you know, without building a overtly Christian business in that way where we're just telling Christian stories, but one where we can make people begin to believe and see and ask questions and have good dialogue around the possibility of a world beyond what we are seeing.
Wow, that's a beautiful note to end on, Sammy. Thanks so much for taking the time. I've personally found it very interesting and stirring, and I'm sure many others listening to this would have found the same. I pray God continues to bless the work of your hands as you tell stories for his glory.
Thank you so much, Sips. Thanks for having me, and really excited about the work that Ziwani is doing and the community it's building, and really excited to see what God could really do with a community of people who want a world that finds purpose beyond profit. So I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, amen to that. Thank you, Sammy.
If you want a written resource that includes all the topics in this series, please see the show notes to download our free Business and Justice booklet.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to hear more conversations on the topic of redemptive business in Africa, visit Ziwani's website at www.ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.